I too want to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, here this morning. I had to, as the brother was preaching, I had to think of the disciples as they, Jesus had been buried in the tomb. In a way, all their dreams and everything had crashed. And there were these men walking to this, they were walking home actually, and it's quite a distance. And they were talking, and we get a little bit of that conversation, but I think they were pretty gloomy and glum. Then Jesus himself came. He walks along there, and he asks them, "What are y'all talking about?" And they told him. And we have just a little bit there, but I'm sure they told him the story. "Well, haven't you heard what's going on in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard what happened?" And Jesus patiently went through the prophecies and showed him that this should happen. And you know, they got home and somehow they didn't recognize Jesus. But after he left them, their hearts just burned. The Holy Spirit was working. And that's the way I felt this morning, brother. As you were preaching, my heart burned within me. I pray today that we are a people that that know what that feels like. That know when the Spirit moves in our hearts just burn. We realize that this journey is a real journey, that God is a real, He's a living God. And the Holy Spirit is a living agent that ministers to our heart. And it should burn as we realize that the plan of salvation, of redemption. I just never get tired of hearing of our redemption. It means more to me every time. I think of the words that Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Another promise we have: "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me and you, and all of us, given to Jesus." We heard about this, joint heirs, we're by the Father, and how this was predestined before the foundation of the earth. It was God's will. It was His will to be merciful and graceful and to provide a way for humanity. Because God, I believe, when He realized He gave humanity a choice, you know, He could have made us just robots, right? We're not the animal kingdom. They go by instinct. But we have choices, actually. God gave us that ability when he breathed that soul and that life into that first man. So, you know, God also provided a way. That's amazing. I don't understand all that. But God, He didn't just give the power of choice to the man, and now if he fails, you're utterly doomed. But He gave a way of escape for the man, you see. Oh, it's tremendous, brothers and sisters. You know, if we can just grasp the bigger picture of this all, you know, it's tremendous. What is a minister? What is a minister? What is ministry? I want to get into this a little more. But so, you know, we're given to Jesus, and "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." That is such a promise. That is such a promise. And that goes with that being sealed with by the Holy Spirit. Another verse I want to dwell on, and a little bit this morning, is this commandment I give, that you love one another. And that's the same verse as the other one. And then Jesus says this, again, "Love one another as I have loved you." What did Jesus do for us? We just heard about it. That's a tremendous love. I don't understand the depth of that love. I don't. It's hard for me to grasp it even. But he then says this, "Jesus, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." Jesus brings these huge, deep concepts, boom, right down to where we can't understand them. Now, we understand what it is to love a friend, or I hope we do. But do we understand that there's no greater love than to lay your life down for your friend? Jesus, of course, was prophesying of himself when he said this. I'm going to soon go and lay my life down for all the world. And those that receive me will become my friends. And you will become sons and daughters of God, the Father. And you will relate with me as brothers and sisters, friends, under God the Father. And Jesus never, you know, Jesus is God. God is Holy Spirit, three in one. We believe in the triune God, the Trinity. And it's too hard to explain. Menno Simons had, many people have had hard problems explaining exactly the Trinity. But the way I put it is God, Jesus, Holy Spirit's the same DNA. It's one. But it has three parts that it functions, the Spirit functions. Jesus came down for a purpose, to fulfill his part of this. Some of these things are very deep. And I don't think we're going to know exactly what all these meanings mean until we're on the other side. And that's why I say that we always want to realize that our Bible is a prophetic book too. It's also a book of prophecy. Just as the brother said, it tells us the story unfolding. But you know, we do not see that until we're born again and we start walking in the Holy Spirit. That's what reveals the truth and the wisdom to us. The Spirit of God himself. What a tremendous gift we hold in our own being. And it is a gift. We cannot make the Holy Spirit come to us. It is a gift that comes, that God gives his believers when he cleanses them and accepts them in the Beloved. Today, I would like to speak of this. The title of the message is Gifts Given or Bestowed Upon the Family of God, in the Family of God. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 4 a little bit. I want you to go there. As you think of this church, as we think of the ordination, as we think of this time of waiting upon the Lord, we realize that there are four brethren here that share a lot, and that tonight God will choose. Ultimately, we believe that God will choose his will. He will choose the brother that he feels will be suited for this job. And you know what? He might choose the one that's maybe least suited for it, because he might want to just teach that brother yet some things. You know, I wonder, I'm just amazed at God, how he works through the messes and the problems to bring honor and glory to himself. You see, God, again, as we, and just to do a little review, you know, Thursday evening we spoke about the Christ will build his church. And we went into some of those things, and I'm coming back to this, but we're going to bring it into our local body setting, our family of God setting here today. But remember, we were trying Thursday evening to look at the bigger picture. Why did I start there? Because we need to start there because we need to have purpose. Why ordain ministers if there's no purpose? But sometimes, yeah, we realize we need purpose in ministry and all that. But let's realize ministry, to ordain a minister today is part of a greater ministry, if you know what I mean. It's part of a greater ministry, a greater thing God wants going here. And we want to look into this a little bit. So then, Friday night, we talk about humility, don't we? And, you know, we're talking about what does God need from us to really work in us and to get us to see our undoneness so that he can put himself into us and work through us. And it can be called born again. And it can be called a lot of things, being adopted in the family, being grafted in. That's all talking of the same concept, but in different ways. Or we talk about also humility, being empty of yourself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, the Beatitudes. Those that find themselves poor, God can fill. Do we stay poor so that God can fill us? Do we intentionally get poor? I believe we need to find ourselves poor, but not just stay poor. We need to let God fill us and keep filling us. But we need also realize, without that infilling, we're extremely poor. Okay. This is a big thing I want to speak today about. It's so big that I really struggle with this message. I'm just going to be honest with you. I almost don't know where to start and where to stop. The Church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, is tremendous. I am learning what it's all about in my own life. As I interact and I relate with my brothers and sisters, that God, not by accident, has put around me, but for a purpose. For a purpose. And I too am there for a purpose. We have nothing to boast of ourselves, do we? But Christ Jesus gets the honor. So, we go on, and I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sure you're there by now. I've given you enough time to get there. And chapter 4 says like this. I'm going to take out two verses. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I am not here to say, I've read a lot of early church writings. I don't know how many of you have read what some of the first generation Christians had to say about some of these things. But today my heart is, I am just going to share my heart with you. And it's something I've shared in our own congregation. But I want to ask you this here at Calvary Christian Church. Where are you on this journey of being a body of Christ? And do you realize that there's a place for every single one of you in this body of Christ? And this list here is part of the list. But this is not so much talking about brother so-and-so as the evangelist over there, but it's more talking about a spirit gift that God gives his people. Very likely, if a brother back here is an evangelist and he has that gift, he will be ordained one day. If he lets that continue and cultivates that in his life. Will he always be ordained? I'm not sure he will always be, even though he has that gift. But he will still use that gift and exercise it. And this is one thing I want to be very careful. We need to be very careful that we don't put our ministers and our congregations on the pedestal that they hold all the gifts. This is exactly what I want to teach and preach about here today. And the Holy Spirit has been I wasn't sure do I want to get into this or not, but the Spirit just led me. It's needful. It's needful to us to look into some of these chapters and what does this mean for us? What does this mean for the church? I think there are people leaving our churches, and I'm talking about the Anabaptist community as a whole. Because there are some misconceptions about this, and there's other people that say, well, let's just avoid the subject totally. Talking about the gifts gets us in trouble. We don't know. I don't think that's good enough. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you as a brotherhood here to get in the Word. And what does this mean for us, and what does this mean for you? Let's not avoid some places in the Bible. I'm not saying you're doing that. But I have sensed and I've been concerned about that in our churches. I think that having standards, I'm all for standards. Standards can never take the place of the Holy Spirit working amongst the people of God. We have to get that clear. Standards are a help to the church. They are a help. They should come from a heart that is turned towards God. They should come from a brotherhood that is concerned about not being worldly. But these standards need to be coming from a source that's not just men's traditions. Now, Christian traditions are good if they're coming from the right source. I believe that with all my heart. But one thing we need to make sure is that as we go through this world and we're presenting the gospel to humanity, that we're not out there making Mennonites out of people, but that we are making followers of Jesus Christ. That we're taking them to Jesus. Yes, it's fine. We have a wonderful, rich heritage and culture. And if people are attracted to our churches, great. That's wonderful. But let's keep turning to Christ Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. I make no apologies. He is the head, and we're under that. All glory and honor goes to Him. Now, we are making an application of that. I realize that, and that is important. It's important to make applications of our beliefs, absolutely. There is a big other ditch in the Christian church, and I'm talking about all the churches, where you're saved by faith alone and works doesn't matter. It does. Works is actually showing what your faith is all about. It's not outpouring of it. But let's not go in the other ditch then. Let's realize we're saved by faith, by the grace of God, right? And that's hard to understand too, in some ways. That's a deep subject. But let's apply ourselves to these deep things of the Scriptures. So, you know, here we have this picture that the church has prophets, apostles. Are you called ever Apostle John? Are you called Prophet Dwight? Are you? You could be. You might have, I don't know you long enough, but you might, if you don't have that gift now, that gift could still come in your life as you exercise it and as you, okay, there's another thing I want to make. Okay, we're going to, these two verses, please grab a hold of them. They're in Ephesians here. Now we're going to turn to Corinthians. Paul gets very detailish in Corinthians about this. And I just, I marvel at this, at the dynamics of God's church. And I wonder sometimes if we're realizing and functioning in those dynamics. Okay. If he, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A lot of these letters that Paul writes are because the churches were struggling with issues. They have a lot of encouragement in it, but they also have a lot of direction how to deal with problems in the churches that the Christians were having. And so it's very practical for us to look into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're talking, and of course, our whole vision, the reason we're having this conversation is we're ordaining a minister, Lord willing, tonight. But it's not all about just this minister that's going to be ordained tonight. He's going to be a very small part, actually, of God's greater plan for this church. But he's a very important part, too. But we want to put the focus on the whole body here. This minister, whoever, and take courage, brethren, who have learned a lot, because the weight will all be on you. Praise the Lord, right? Bishops here, the weight's not on you all. It's part of it. You have an office to fulfill. But let's remember all these things. And as we read through this chapter, we were going to see that all these offices, all these things are called ministry. We're all ministers in a sense. But God needs order in the churches. So through ordination, through laying on of hands, we have special offices to keep the churches in order and to keep them functioning in a godly, biblical way. That is the minister's bishop, deacon, minister. That's a plural ministry. I believe it's very scriptural. It's beautiful. But he goes even beyond that in the church. It's even more plural than that. But these three especially are there to fulfill the office and to keep order in the church, but not only that, but to encourage the believers, and not only that, but to cultivate the gifts in the believer's life, to bring that out, you see. We're not up here to be lords. And it's not a noun. We're verbs, you see. We're part of this greater work. And that's how in the kingdom of heaven we're servants, actually. We're not the Pope. We're not cardinals. We don't hold kind of authority, but what we have in us is Christ Jesus crucified, and that flowing through us in a very real way brings authority with it. Because it's the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit working in our congregations. We do. If we don't, we will become a legalistic system. We will go revert right back to the Catholic Church, what it became, and any congregation that we have to have the Holy Spirit functioning in our churches. The Holy Spirit brings gifts to the churches. It just does. Are we there? Are we there today? Some of these gifts, you might look here and say, well, I don't have this gift. That's okay. But you do have a gift. But don't glory in your gift, brothers and sisters, because you know what? The gifts aren't for you. They're actually to help minister to others' needs. Oh, hallelujah. You see, oh my, this is so... I'm leaning on the Spirit myself to just bring this out. Let's read this chapter, Lord willing. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about truly believing that with all our heart. It's the Holy Spirit that actually brings that knowledge to us. What happened to Peter? We covered that the other night. Peter just boils out with this. The others are saying, well, you're a prophet, you're this, you're maybe Isaiah. Peter's like, he knows. The Spirit of God just, you're a Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Holy Spirit will actually do that to us at times. It will give us so definite truth. But remember, we're not an island in that. We're with a group of believers. So we need each other to balance each other out. We can get off sometimes. Okay, you know, we want to do right, but sometimes we need our brother's perspective on things. And this is what this chapter is a lot about. Wherefore I give you unto understanding that no man speaketh. Verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are, and what is that saying? There are different gifts, but it's all from the Holy Spirit of God. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There's different ways that this Holy Spirit of God is going to work through different channels in people's lives, but we're all under Jesus Christ. He's still our head. And remember at the beginning, he's telling the Corinthians, what are you all doing over here? You're not supposed to follow Apollos. You're not supposed to follow this one and that one. And I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you, or you'd say, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm your Savior. Remember? He's cautioning us, don't follow men. Follow Jesus Christ. Don't follow men. Well, you know, we can take that too far, too. I believe we need to follow men's examples. We need to be an example for each other. We realize the church is a discipling center for one another. But don't put all your weight on a man. Okay, whoever's ordained this evening. You know, some of you might have voted. Some of you might not have. In your mind, it might be the wrong man. Rest in peace, it's the right man. Because God's going to he's not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. I'm a work in progress. We're all a work in process. So let's realize that God knows best. Let's rest assured. Now, in verse 6, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God would work it all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You see, read this chapter. I know the Pentecostal people, I've rubbed shoulders with some of them, and they want to say that if you don't speak in tongues, you do not have the Holy Spirit. I totally disagree with that. Please don't ever believe that. If somebody tells you that, just grin and bear it and try to bless them. Don't tell them all they're wrong either, because that's not going to work. But that is a belief that is not what you read here. That is not what you read. Let's look into the Word. Let's look at it. For one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom. to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. What is a word of wisdom? What is a word of knowledge? Brothers and sisters, I would like to just point out to you, and I pray, I told the church at home this, that the gifts in this chapter are actually functioning in our congregations. They should be. But lots of times we don't realize it as much. Because our focus is heavy on these gifts are not for us. They're for other people to help other people. But let's also realize that these gifts need to be functioning. Let's not get lazy. Let's not think, well, that's for the minister. That's the church is for everyone. We're going to get to some all words here, real quick here. So wisdom and knowledge. Now, I want you to think of everyone here. Who is a brother with wisdom? And are these gifts only for men? No, they're for the ladies too. You see, you have a tremendous ministry over there. Isn't that exciting? Is your heart burning? Mine is. Did you know in the early church there were, I think they were widows, but they were old ladies that were taken in the deacons. They were also called to serve, a lot the way the deacons were, to serve the needs of the congregations. I think one thing they didn't do was they did not get up and preach. Paul made that very clear. But because you can't get up and preach doesn't at all mean God doesn't have a wonderful, and whoever the wife is to this, the one that's ordained, your ministry is together, hand in hand. My wife has been so tremendous for me in helping me. I don't think of it as being a bishop by myself. I think of me and my wife. She doesn't get up to speak, but I tell you, she does a lot of other things behind the scenes that she has. My wife, she's not even going to look at it. She's embarrassed a little bit. I'm going to put a little bit of, she has a gift of ministry, my wife. She does it in her quiet way, and she thinks of things that I never think about.
Women, you're called to be chaste. You're called to be quiet. You know, it's not a shame. It's a good thing. It's a witness. Your testimony is powerful. But you're not called to not have anything come out of you. There should be life flowing out of your lives, you see. Oh, that's just a godly woman is such a powerful testimony in today's society. The world has made women in general very, very, they've cheapened the respect. And men too. It's just, our world is, the morals of this country have gone down since I remember tremendously. We're going to stick out more and more in this society. And people are going to start asking questions if they're not already. Are we ready to answer those questions? Why we believe in modesty and things like that? Let's keep on going. So as you answer those questions, maybe you're in Walmart, whatever, and they see your covering and that you're veiled and you have a modest dress on. They might ask you, well, why is that? The Holy Spirit will function in your life if it's open, and you will give a word of wisdom. You will give a word of knowledge. You will prophesy. This is God's will for His church, brothers and sisters. And you see, I'm afraid, you know, I tell you the truth. I've been a minister for 5 years. The Amish church literally avoided that chapter. It was never really gone into and explained. I pray that we can go into that. And are we here? Are we doing this? Are we experiencing this life? And, you know, Jesus said to the woman at the well that it will be a well flowing through you. And it's like a well that has no end in it. You know, it's because it's from the Lord. And yeah, I'm not saying we're not going to hit some dry spots. We are. But what do we do when we hit a dry spot? We get thirsty, right? We need more water. So we go back and drink again. We have to. We need to. So, wisdom, knowledge. Another faith by the same Spirit. Now, I believe everyone has a measure of faith. Actually, I believe there's a verse that says that, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. But there are people with an extra measure of faith. It's a gift. These are people that you come around and they're always, they're not just positive thinkers. Now, I know, you can make yourself just think positive. These are people that are just, they're holy men and sisters of God that constantly are pouring into people's lives, and they always have faith that things are going to work out. They can be going through the loss of a precious person in their family. They're constantly putting their faith in God. You know what a lot of people do? They're like, oh, I wish this wasn't happening to me. And these people come alongside you and like, hey, God has a purpose. It's a special anointed gift of faith in that person's life. Let's recognize what it is. No honor to the person. It's all to the glory of God and Jesus. But let's not be ashamed to recognize that in church life and encourage it. Encourage it, brothers and sisters. We need to encourage these gifts that they function in our church. If we do not practice something, and we're going to get into that. I'm going to go then to the talents. But if we do not exercise something, I believe the time comes where the Lord just lets it lay. But it's not His will. He wants our churches to be tremendous lights and witnesses. Let's keep on going. To another, working of miracles. Now, he talks about faith, and then the same Spirit. Another gifts is gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Well, I believe in the gift of healing. I do. I've experienced it. Not only in my spiritual life, but I've experienced in James, it talks about literal healing. Let's not sidestep this. You know, I there is something about, as I read Christian history and also what's going on around the world, the Christians, what they're facing, churches that are facing a lot of persecution, it's from what I'm reading, have a lot more supernatural things happening like that in their churches. And it's got something to do with them being so poor, they have nothing else but God to lean on. Here we have money, we have riches, we can make it. And this society in America, I know it's in a way it's a wonderful place to live, but also it's been our downfall. It has taken the faith out of us. Because we have money, we can work our way through so many times. We're not promised this either. This could end. This could end soon. We don't know when this time will end, but America's been a time of freedom that we take for granted. I just wonder what's coming yet. Because in Revelations, it's coming. There's going to be a showdown on this earth. And the believers are not going to get raptured out from what I'm reading. They're going to suffer too. But they're going to know where their identity is. They're going to be glad to suffer as many Christians have before. They were just glad to lay their life down because they thought of a better place. They knew of a better place. They believed in a better place. Let's keep on going. These gifts here we're talking about. So miracles. I'm going to tell you of a man in our church. Some of you might know him, Mervin Hostetler. Mervin and Lula. How many of you know Mervin and Lula? Praise the Lord. How many of you remember when he walked with the cane? A few years back? This Mervin, I've gotten to know him with privilege. He's a man on fire for the Lord. The way I describe him, I appreciate his zeal. I've gone in prison ministry with him. He has a gift of evangelism. He's not really ordained, but he has that gift functioning in his life. I mean, that's what he does. He comes up to you. He's soon talking about the Lord Jesus, isn't he? How many of you know him that way? He's not quite long. He's getting into a conversation that's spiritual. And those are the conversations we need to have. Oh, we're going to become carnally minded. And our churches are going to go down, down, down. This man was healed a couple years ago. He has not walked with a cane since. They had an anointing service. He put his cane away the next day. Miraculously healed. Does healing not happen in our communities? God doesn't always allow healing the way we pray. But let's not put that away. Let's pray in faith always. That's the key. Let's pray in faith according to the will of God. And I believe that's, I believe that is very important that we pray according to the will of God. That we're always submitted. Because God's way of healing somebody might not always be physical. It might be taking them away. But he does also heal physically from time to time. And especially in the poorer countries where the churches are just, it seems like these are just more so. Why? Again, we're going to look into this. It's to bring glory to him and his body. It's not about us, these gifts. It's not about our own, I've got the gift. I'm doing so much, you know. It's about bringing glory to the bride of Christ. Why does God want to bring glory to the bride here? Because he wants to show the world who he is. Isn't that beautiful? He's using us to show the world who he is. So why wouldn't he have powerful things happening in the churches? Of course. Where are we in this? Are we experiencing the Spirit flow through our hearts and lives? Are we afraid to testify and open our mouths? Are we afraid to prophesy? Are we afraid to give a word of knowledge? The Spirit will give you that it will nudge you to that, but it won't force you to that. We have to lay into it. And remember the first night I said we have to meditate, and it's to devour the Word? We have to want it. It says that, too many places here. Let's keep on going. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Discerning of spirits. I think working of miracles. Miracles are happening all the time around us. They're happening in our churches. We need to open up our eyes and look at them and see them. When a man gives his life to the Lord of Jesus Christ, that's the biggest miracle to me that could ever happen. If you're part of that process where you have led or sowed a seed in somebody's life, that they will give their life to the Lord Jesus, you have been part of a huge miracle. You have been part of that. You have the gift of miracles. I'm not going to say that that's the only thing. Faith... You know, faith is, how was it? The disciples so struggled with it. You know, they struggled to see some of the things Jesus was doing. They struggled believing it, even there with him. And one time they just said, Lord, increase our faith. It's okay to do that. We need that. It's a part of our humbling ourselves. Lord, increase our faith. I don't see through this. Help me. I think there's things that this chapter is talking about that come through fasting and praying. If we are living in the flesh and we're fleshing things out, we're not going to experience some of these deeper meanings of the gifts in the church. We need to repent and fall on our faces. Another thing, we have to deal with sin issues in our lives. These gifts cannot function if there's sin in our lives. Let's keep on going. Discerning of spirits. We need people in our churches that can discern our spirits, because we realize the Bible also speaks of somebody else that can make things look like gifts, and that's Satan. One thing the gifts will never do, however level you're experiencing them in your congregation, they will never make the Word of God to ineffect. They will always be in agreement with the Word of God. And that's why we need the body. That's why we need each other. Because sometimes we can get a little off. We can start believing something, and it's good, but we can get sidetracked. So Paul, and I think this is where the Corinthian church was. The gift of tongues, he has a lot of writing on the gift of tongues. He admonishes in it. And he tells them, now if you have the gift of tongues, make sure somebody can interpret it. I think there was chaos going on in the church, is why this letter was written. And Paul was bringing things in order. But he wasn't saying don't use the gifts. He said use them to God's glory. They're not to bring yourself up, but they're there to function to help you all be a better witness for the world, for the Lord, to attract people in. Diverse kinds of tongues, other interpretation of tongues. We have the example in Acts, where they were all sitting there and they started speaking in different languages and they understood it. I believe this gift is given as there's a need. If there was a need for that here today, there were a bunch of different languages here, I think God could open up our mind just like that and give us that gift. Actually, I know of a missionary, and he happened to be Mennonite, that went to a place, and I don't know the name, but he understood the different language. He was given the gift of tongues. God can do that. He can. Why would we say he can't? He's all powerful. I'm not afraid today to speak about these things. I really am not. I believe that God is teaching us in our churches. And again, we need to be very careful. You know, and I think some people hesitate to even go in these things so too deeply because of the there's another spirit too at work that can make things look counterfeit. So, you know, if you see a church that's, they claim they have the gift of tongues and everything, look at their lives. What's going on there? Are they living holy, righteous lives before God? Is there things coming out of there that are biblical? Or do they live as they want? But claim to have that gift. There's false gifts. There's counterfeits. Satan has made a counterfeit, I believe, for about everything. And that's why we need discerning of spirits. And lots of times that's going to be, Brother John, I believe that gift is the older men lots of times. They've been through the warfare. They've been through things. They can discern. Let's listen to our elders. I know we're supposed to all be, ministers are supposed to be elders too, but I'm talking about the elder in the church. Let's take heed what they say. There's several elderly men in my church that I listen when they talk. Yeah, I'm the bishop, right? But they've been through things that I haven't, and I listen. So I respect them too, you know, as if they were the bishop in a way. I really do, because I realize they have a lot. They have discerning of spirits. They're there to keep us in check. Okay, this is all supposed to work together. Different kinds of tongues, we talked about. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now he goes on and explains this. For as the body is one, it hath many members. All the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. So he's saying, all these gifts put together become one for the edification of the church. And it's all to the honor and glory of Christ, our head. And it's to show the world what God looks like. Isn't that simple? Are we showing the world what God looks like? Are we putting God on display? Unashamedly. But humbly. Not because we've got this gift and we're arrogant about it. Please, understand me. It's something that comes through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not give us pride. That's not one of the gifts. If there's pride coming in our life and we start patting ourselves on the shoulder, whoa, beware. There's a man that told me, he came to our church and he wasn't from the Mennonite background, but he said their church was experiencing a lot of gifts. They were humble people. They were just seeking the Lord on it. He said they got proud and they lost everything. He said the church is in carnality. They split up and just amazing how the devil can counterfeit things like that. So yeah, we need to beware. We need to be very careful. But let's not avoid drinking at the well, because we hear some of those bad experiences, you know. Let's not avoid this because we hear of how things went wrong. If we build upon what other churches have done right or failed in, then we're going to go astray. But if we build on the rock of Jesus Christ, we build in the scriptures, and our standards of practice, and everything comes from here. And yes, there's churches doing things that are good things. We can adopt that. I'm not saying you don't look. But we need to make sure we know what we're believing and we stand on it. Let's bless the other churches where they're at. It says, bless, don't curse. Honor all men, it says in the Bible. Wow, if we would practice that in the kingdom, it'd be a lot less problems, wouldn't there? A lot less pride. To honor somebody is to esteem him. Let's keep on going here. For the Spirit... Let me see here. I want to be time of the conscience. I better read this. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And I tell you, this foot, I don't pay much attention to my feet. Actually, I think they look kind of ugly. I don't want to look at my feet. Yeah. But if I did not have my foot, I'd be in bad shape. This thing balances me. It's stuck out there so I don't just fall over. I want to just clubs, you know. But it's kind of a lowly thing. But it's very, very important. Maybe that's a minister, huh? Maybe we're a foot. Or a toe. I'm okay with being that. I am. Whatever God wants me to be. And that's the focus here today. Let's not focus on position and status quo. Let's focus on ministry. Now, there's a brother going to be ordained, Lord willing, to the ministry. All you're doing is he's going to help the whole church function better. That's what he should be there. He's going to be there to cultivate and to bring out and to bless and to deal with problems. That's the part that's not so easy sometimes. But it's all there. And that's what he's going to be tonight. So it's not that he's going to be enlightened special. He's going to be walking right with you, learning with you. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we need each other. You see, that's what Paul's bringing out. You all need each other. You're not an island. You don't have all the answers, Bishop, Minister, Deacon. You need your brothers. They need you too. Okay, let's keep on going. So he goes by the foot, and then if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Sorry. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And he's asking, is it not still on your body? Is it not have a purpose? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Wow. Ministers don't set people in the body. We don't do that, Henry. That's not our job, is it? Now, we can bless, we can cultivate. We need to do that. But it's actually God that sets you all here, just like you are here at Calvary. With your weaknesses, with your rough edges, everything. You know what? Because you got to get all that trimmed off yet. Let's keep on going. So he does it. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. And I love to see this. Now, the head is always Christ Jesus. And you brought that out the other night. How would it be? It's just, Christ needs us. Now, isn't that something? He actually needs us. He wants us. Again, he could have been here for 2,000 years making disciples. No, he's going to give some. You know, he said, you're going to do greater things than I have. Jesus told his disciples that. I'm like, what could have been greater? But that's what he meant. I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit in your churches. And you're going to spread the gospel. You're going to tell all humanity that there's hope. That you're not doomed for hell. Oh, hallelujah. I just can't. I get excited. What are we doing with this message? So we keep on going here. So, you know, the head, Christ needs, I have no need of you. Imagine Christ saying, well, I have no need of you. You know. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We're the feeble ones, aren't we? Christ the head, I mean, we definitely are, aren't we? But he needs us. He needs us. Isn't that an affirmation, confirmation to us as believers? Isn't that beautiful? What do we do with this? And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, we're thinking this, you know, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And this is the character of God again. He loves fixing messes. And I praise the Lord because he's fixing me. He's helped me. I don't deserve to be here today. I don't deserve to be a minister of the gospel, in a sense. God has many times had to redirect my life, even after I became a Christian. And you know, all I have at the end of the day is thank you, Lord Jesus. You've been so good to me. Can we see our head like that? So we're very likely we can be a comely part, whatever. And there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I love that. If a division starts, boy, if a brother and sister, if there starts to be bitterness, there starts to come things between you and your brother, don't let it happen. One of you take the initiative to go make that right. One of you. Even if you think you're the one that's right, go for sure then. Go with a humble spirit. Go on your knees first. Pray about it. I've learned that if I go on my knees and spend time in prayer, I go to that brother, and it's amazing. That brother lots of times saying himself what I was going to say, and then I see myself in it, and we can part on beautiful terms, and we've both grown in the Lord. We've both been humbled. You know, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit really wants to function in these areas in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to do the work in the churches, but we have to let Him. We think we can fix things in a carnal way. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's why we face so many. That's why the church age has been so. It's been a lot of divisions because of carnality, if you look at it. We can't fix these things, and we have to walk in the Spirit. There should be no. And then verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love that. Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. Okay? So he's bringing this thing like you're all together, but you still have a special place in the body. But don't let that take preeminence. Blend together. Keep blending together. Focus again, not us, but on Jesus, on Christ, on the work that needs to be done, right? Focus on what is God trying to accomplish in our churches? What is He trying to accomplish here? Calvary Church, what is He trying to accomplish? He wants to accomplish a lot here. So, then God hath set some in the church, and we read this in Ephesians. Here it's again, this list. First apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments? Whoa, wait a minute. Is that government just outside? Here we have a verse that specifically says we need government in the church. Ooh, that's hard for the ones that say, well, you're just legalistic when you make rules. It's right there. Rules and things like that are biblical. But where do they come from? What source are they coming from? That's where we need to be. Are they coming from a heart converted to God? It's going to make all the difference how we live out that in our... You know, if we are constantly bumping up against what the church stands for, and I'm going to call it a standard brotherhood agreements, there's a heart condition problem. Or else there's a big problem in the church. There's a problem somewhere that should not be the problem. But a lot of people come up against it. They bump against that. And they get to the point where they feel they're in bondage to it. A church should never be functioning like that. Why is that? Is it because the Holy Spirit isn't functioning in the church? Are we not experiencing the gifts here? Why? What's going on? I'm not here to say which way it is, but let's take a look at it. Let's be honest. Let's see, well, where is our church? Is our church failing somewhere? Are we missing the point? Let's keep on going here. I know the time is going, but it talks about government and diversities of tongues. And then he says, now, are all of you apostles? Are all of you prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly on the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And this is cut into chapters, but it goes right on in the original manuscript. Then he goes into love. And we're out of time. He's like, okay, the gifts are beautiful. They need a function. But if you're doing it without love, it's all for nothing. Wow! Love is the foundation. It's foundational to Christian life, living Christian life. It is. So we do this for the purpose of charity, for the purpose of redeeming a lost and dying world back to God, helping in that process after we're redeemed. These gifts are beautiful. I believe they are functioning in our churches. I don't know that, you know, I don't know how many sermons you've had on these chapters here, but I want to be able to preach on everything here, but I realize there's some things that I need more understanding in my own life. And that's where we can gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not avoid things that are hard to understand in the Bible, but let's study it. Let's come together. Let's fast and pray. What am I sounding like? The church in Acts, right? Those were key things to seeking the Lord. Fasting, praying, saying no to the flesh. That sounds like works, doesn't it? But if it's motivated from the Lord, it's not. It's not just a works religion. It's what comes out of a Spirit-led life, you see. I wrote this down yet. And I guess the Lord just gave me this, and this is a small statement, but maybe to end this all, I just thought of it. What is the purpose then of ordaining ministers if all these gifts are functioning and everything? Well, I think one purpose we read about is that verse about government. There needs to be order in the church. Another thing, we have pattern in Acts where they ordained ministers to see after functions in the church. We call them offices. But what we need to be aware of, I think, is that these are not the men necessary to have all these gifts. They should have some of them, I think. They will have some of them. But these ministers actually cultivate and nurture the gifts within the body. That's the calling. You take care of the body. You pastor the church. And I said all that to say this. We went on a long journey, dude. But that's what I believe this is all about tonight, is we're calling one from among you to help in pastoring the church and to cultivate that the church can function more like Christ Jesus. Be more united. Be more powerful, you could say, in reaching the world and shedding its light. And this church should be a place where healing is found, where there's people that come in and are just full of sin laden, and they can dump their buckets here. And then the gifts start functioning. Prophecy. Prophecy is a lot about encouraging each other, actually. If you look into it, prophecy is not so much future events. It can be that, too. It can be saying a Bible truth. You know, it's that, too, but it's a lot. Prophesying into each other's life is encouraging each other on. Not just talking about the weather, but deep encouragement about spiritual truths that you see in each other's life. You know, it's tremendous when a brother comes to me and says, look, I see the Lord working in your life, and I believe He wants you to do this. Lots of times we might be thinking that, but a brother comes to us and affirms that, he's prophesying in my life. You see, we need to do that. We need to open up and encourage each other. So prophecy is a lot of encouragement, spiritual encouragement into each other's lives. Tonight, I actually want to kind of then get into the qualifications a little bit, or talk about in samples to the flock, and also maybe a little more what the ministry maybe faces sometimes. I'm going to get a little bit, when you're, until you're ordained in ministry, I didn't realize what all went on behind the scenes. But one thing I want to bring out tonight is we dare not keep too much behind the scenes. We need to be open. I think that's caused a lot of trouble and division. There's too much going on behind the scenes. We need to be open. Our brothers need to know about our burdens. They want to be part of the vision, remember? We're not an island. And praise the Lord. May God get all honor and glory. I hope the Holy Spirit can minister to your hearts through my faulty, sometimes putting words together. But I pray that the Holy Spirit could minister to your hearts and that God would get the glory for this message. Let's all kneel in a word of prayer.